In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Shackman, John Senecal, episode 77. I think the best place to start here is that, and we have a few things in terms of agenda. We're going to talk about the Red Sox and the Yankees specifically at first. We're going to talk about Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson second. We'll do a little fantasy baseball third, and we'll see where we go from there. What I would say is maybe the Yankees aren't as good as we thought they were at the beginning, which is, you know, near historic success. And maybe the Red Sox aren't as bad as we thought they were going to be, which would be near historic failure for the Red Sox. And I don't know. All I see is that the Yankees lost a couple games. They're still in first. But not as much as you might think, by the way, because Tampa Bay is right there. But yep. I mean, there's no way they could sustain what they were doing.
No, and I don't think anybody that ever watches baseball could ever think they would anyways. I mean, what were they on pace to win, like 120 games or something? I mean, you know there's going to be ups and downs and there's going to be injuries. And it's funny, it's not funny, but it's like the COVID IL has become almost so convenient for players and teams. It's like,
you think they squirrel people away there?
I don't know. I don't know what the protocol is for how much you got to like reveal of what's going on with HIPAA and all that. Like,
because maybe you don't even have to test positive to go on.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like people are just disappearing. Like a black car pulls up and it's like, you know, you get off the team bus, but you don't make it into the stadium.
But it's interesting you say that. I haven't thought about it. Maybe that's a way that you can move the roster around because you don't have to put somebody in the injured list. If they got a sore throat or whatever, you put them on the
scratchy throat,
on the health and protocol, you can put a player in there for 2 days.
Right.
And then not even have to do like a call up or whatever.
I know. It's just weird. Like my good friend texted me the other day and he's like, Donaldson's on the COVID IL again? Like, wasn't he just on it? Like,
they never said he tested positive. They never said he tested positive.
That's what I'm saying. Because I don't know if they can, right? Like,
I don't know if I would imagine they would if he did.
It's just all weird to me how this, all of a sudden, it's become such a convenience for players.
Baseball's like that. They just find a way to leverage some
loophole. Well, it's like the mound visits now. Like, all of a sudden, they're bringing out the trainer now to the mound so they can get an extra 2 mound visits a game out of it. And it's like, at some point, like, I saw one the other day where the umpire, like, followed him out there. It was like, all right, enough, guys. Like,
seriously, this is when we know what you're doing.
We know what you're doing here. Like, exactly. Like, they're always going to bend the rules. But getting back to the Yankees and the Red Sox, listen, the Yankees weren't going to sustain it. Your best friend Chapman obviously doesn't have the goods. Chad Green is hurt. He's done. You know, I feel like you could fill the Chad Green void. As much as everyone loves Chad Green, let's be honest. He's a middle reliever. Team postseason proves that, yes, middle relief is very important. But I think, you know, given the way the league is and across the league, if the Yankees need to find somebody, they could find a middle reliever.
Yeah,
right? Or they'll bring someone internally. Like Holmes has been doing great. He's been lights out. So, but also begs the question now, maybe you're going to have to go by bullpen by committee because Loaiza hasn't been that great. Maybe there's something wrong with him. So listen, the Yankees bullpen is a little bit questionable, but I'll take a questionable bullpen if your offense is still hitting, which, you know, they have a little bit of struggles. They weren't putting up a ton of numbers.
They should have signed Aaron Judge. I mean,
yeah, Aaron Judge is, you know, he is living up to the hype for sure. I mean, if you know, he's arguably, I would say probably right now the best player in baseball. He's in the top 3 or 5 in everything other than average, and I think he's in the top 10 of that. So, you know, when you watch Aaron Judge play right now, it looks like he's like he doesn't even have to try. It looks like it's just effortless for him.
Plus, when you have that kind of athletic ability with his size, it doesn't fit with normal baseball rules. It's like if Dave Winfield was 40 pounds heavier. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, he's not a, it's like if LeBron was playing baseball. I mean, it's just different.
And you also remember watching Dave Winfield swing. He would fall out of his shoes, too. Like, he would look like he'd fall over, you know? But Judge is, like, graceful. Like, when he hits a home run and they slow-mo that down, it's a thing of beauty. It really is.
He's a great baseball player, and even if I, you know, it's we've talked so much together about Red Sox and Yankees, and what I found is from like A-Rod on, I just don't like the Yankees anymore. Like, I used to not be a Yankee hater.
You don't even like Jeter. So, like, that's saying something.
I don't like Jeter. But I guess my point is, like, but I always liked Posada. I actually liked Pettit. And Rivera, you can't hate, especially after the way he handled things in 2005 to begin the season. But what I would say is, my point is that I didn't grow up hating the Yankees, but I've become more of a Yankee hater as I've gotten older. And I can't hate Judge.
No.
I can't, because he's just... You're looking at a guy who just breaks the mold, and it's in a similar way that Ohtani does, and some other guys. Like Mike Trout, as jacked as he is, like, he's a baseball player.
He looks
and he's
like
a prototypical baseball player. Whereas Judge is not, Ohtani is not. They're just different, and so you can't. He's one of the few guys where when he's up, you stop. And you watch.
Yeah, well, we had talked about this in episodes before, Brian, about, you know, who are you going out to the stadium to see?
You would pay money to see him.
And we didn't bring up Aaron Judge.
No, we did not.
No, we didn't bring him up. And now I would say, you know, I think we missed him at that point because he is that kind of player. But Jesus, what he's doing now, it's unbelievable. I mean, he literally looks like he's playing a video game and he's on an easy mode.
Well, I mean, the bat looks like a potato stick in his hand. Hey, I wanted to say, so the Yankees, you know, obviously... We're not as good as being like 20 games over 500.
They can't crack the 30 nut.
But then there's the Red Sox, where they were in last place, had one of the worst records in baseball, and everyone's like, and for me, I will be honest in that I don't think this team is a World Series caliber team. But when you really take a step back and think about it, they don't have to be to consider the season, at least in terms of them, the management, a success. The only thing they need to do is make the playoffs. Now, if you look, and again, it'll change, you know, depending on when you listen to the broadcast, but they're only a couple games out of the wild card now.
Like, and so, 2.5 or something like
that. Yeah, as of Tuesday, and it could be different because they're facing the White Sox
midweek.
Well,
look, they've made up 2.5 games since the last episode, our last episode on the Yankees.
I don't even think they should care about that. My point is that all they have to do is jump a couple of teams, and then right, what is it? How many teams make the wild card? 3?
Yeah, I think there's 12 teams make the playoffs now.
Yeah, so I mean that's doable. So you could arguably, you know, you're going to have a battle if the Angels, you know, depending on what happens in the West. I mean, you might have to deal with a Toronto. And it might be an interesting March, but you know what? If they can get 500 by mid-June, they're fine.
Yeah,
they are fine.
And it's still so early. There's so much that could happen. I mean, look, everyone's talking about all these players that are playing so great, and it's June. You know, it's not even June. It's not even June. There's so much more baseball to be played, like 120 games left or something.
The problem with the Red Sox, and I'll just point out, besides their obvious pitching issues, I mean, J.D. Martinez and Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts have done everything that they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They just you can't argue or complain about them at all. I think there's a fair amount of sadness in my household that it seems like the organization will move on from Bogaerts, which I think is a terrible mistake. And I'm sure Trevor Story is a good player and whatever, but he's the connection to the past.
Yeah.
And so what I don't like is why would you – and according to reports, I don't know how much you believe, but, you know, it sounds like he wants to be here. And the problem is now he's got Boris in there. And you know,
and he'll let him go to free agency no matter what, even if he said he's open to
for the most part, unless Bogaerts shuts down the agent. And you know, he's old enough and mature enough where if he wants something and he's okay with it, he will send the message.
I'll agree with you though. I feel like he's not going to be a Red Sox. I feel like he's going to be the one that goes, and they'll sign Devers, and they already have Story, and they can just slide Story.
Well, the rumor is that if Bogaerts doesn't stay, then Devers doesn't want to stay. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but you know, in completing the thought, I don't think Bogaerts is worth. Like, Mookie Betts is worth as much in Boston as he is in L.A. or in Chicago or Cleveland. Like, he's worth the same. I don't think Bogaerts is worth the same on another team as he is with Boston because I don't think he's a good enough player to justify the salary. And for me, you know, he was on that 2013 team, which connects back to 07, which connects back to 04. He's the only link to me because now that Pedroia's gone, the only link.
It's like that dog that you just keep taking back to the vet.
I just don't want to die. So I don't want to let go of that because, you know what, from 2003, you know, 2013 was great, but for much different reasons. But, you know, from basically 2002 to 2007 or 2008, it was the greatest time to be a Red Sox fan, you know, outside of that stretch of time in 86. So I don't want to give it up. So anyway,
but they've already been talking about that they could trade him. So that sucks. If they're already talking about that, and that was, you know, that was before they started playing a little bit better. But listen, if there's already trade talk about dumping a player, you know, it can't be that good. And, you know, you never know. That could have been happening with Aaron Judge if he was dudding out right now.
Yeah, I mean, they will not trade him. But that brings me – the only problem with the Red Sox outside of some of those pitching issues is I don't think I've seen a bottom of the order as weak as with the Red Sox. I mean, you're talking like out of, you know, Verdugo.
Awful.
I mean, he's the best of the bunch at 214, and then you have, you know, Kike's under 200. Arroyo's under 200.
That's surprising.
Dahlbeck is at 160. Plawecki is at 159.
Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, those are like
Gallo numbers.
No, but I mean, it's just you can't have. I know 7-8-9 isn't going to do much for you, but it's got to do
right.
Better
but that's
than that.
No different than having like a little league team or something. You got 7-8-9. Next thing you know, like if you can't get through those guys, you can't get to the top of the order.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Those are sometimes 7-8-9 are the most important places in the lineup.
You've got to get outs.
Yeah, and then once the game flips and the lineup flips, you know, they're just as important as everyone else, anyways.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 77 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. This whole dust up between Josh Donaldson and Tim Anderson. If people don't know, Tim Anderson is an all-star caliber player for the Chicago White Sox. Josh Donaldson, is he a former MVP? Was he
former MVP? Yeah. In 2015, yeah. I think he won the MVP.
And he's with the Yankees now. And basically, he basically referenced Anderson as they were John to each other as Jackie, which was a reference to Jackie Robinson, which was, if you take no context, it was viewed as quite racist. And Josh Donaldson was suspended a game, which he is currently appealing. But there is context here, which does have to be noted. One is that Tim Anderson has sort of referenced himself as wanting to be sort of the next Jackie Robinson, meaning that he wants to take the game in its next evolutionary step. And
anybody knows how Tim Anderson plays. Tim Anderson plays with a lot of pizzazz. He's very flamboyant, but he also is a very good player. But Tim Anderson is very involved. He's very involved in the community, and he's just a good person, right? But he also is very in your face in the field.
Sure. And Donaldson has said, you know, they've joked about it, quote unquote, joked about it in the past.
Right.
Having said that, regardless of the but that is the context. Regardless of the context, it still is a stupid thing to, you know, in that kind of setting to do. And this time, Anderson, if he had joked about it in the past, he didn't take issue with it. He took issue with it this time. And, you know, Donaldson is not necessarily, you know,
a lack of controversy.
Yeah, I mean, he's not sort of.
I don't think he has a lot of friends.
A quiet, do your job, go about your business kind of guy.
Remember when the Yankees signed traded for him? And I was against it, right? I mean, I didn't really think he was the kind of attitude the Yankees needed, right? Maybe attitude's not the wrong word. He's kind of just different, right? He likes to attract attention. He likes to mouth off. He mouthed off at Cole about the sticky stuff.
Sure.
But at the same time, he has kind of brought that little bit of edge to the Yankees, right? And now the whole Anderson-Donaldson thing, who knows how far it goes back, right? He says he said it. He's called him that before. Now, obviously, lately was the play at third base they had where he went in hard and they had words and then it got back and forth. If you look at Donaldson's track record over the years, I would have to say that, you know, it's probably easy not to like him.
It's hard to like him?
Easy not. It's easy
not to like him.
Yeah.
Brian Shackman, John Senecal here. Episode 77 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You know, one of my favorite, and again, like we acknowledge that John is just more of an MLB baseball guy than I am. He just knows more about more players. I know the Red Sox, and then everything else is kind of cursory in some ways for me. And what I didn't love being in your fantasy league 20 years ago or 15 years ago because baseball's tough. You have to do it every day. And back in the day, they wouldn't let you set your rosters that far in advance, so you really had to be on it. But I did enjoy, like, the draft. We had a great draft. We drank beers and hung out and shot the breeze for 4 hours.
Like, basically before you, like, had the whole online draft option. Like, you kind of had to, like, get together. You know? Like,
but it was fun.
It was fun. But it was tough. It was tough to get people together.
Eventually you quit, right? You quit. And you said never again. And then I get a text that my kids want to do fantasy baseball you want in. I was like,
let's do a friends and family league.
Right.
Nothing on the line other than bragging rights.
And the truth is, like, there's a whole bunch of really talented players in Major League Baseball that I don't really even know who they are. Like, until this year, I didn't know Jazz Chisholm from you know, Moonlight Graham.
Then you get the players that you really don't know, and that's what opens you in fantasy baseball. The real, like if you watch baseball a bit, Jazz Chisholm is, you know, he's out there. But then there's players you get like Taylor Ward, who you never even heard of,
right,
who wind up, you know, being one of the top three fantasy players in baseball right now.
Right, which I have no idea. And so you're 100% right on that. So we did the draft, and now we're playing. And it's funny you talked about that sort of COVID list and the IL. Like, I started off like gangbusters. I have three guys on the 15-day IL and two guys on the 10-day, and I have two day-to-days. Like, if I took my team as drafted, but I have no ability to pick up good talent because I don't have any idea what to do.
So as we talk about this, Brian and I are playing each other this week, yeah, against each other. And so, you know, and you play head-to-head.
Well,
and
now
you have
that
a 10-team league.
I have to.
You're going to play each other twice over the season. Now, Brian is in first place in the league, and I'm in third place right now. Brian's 5-1, and I'm 4-2. But Brian has been racking up the points.
Yes.
To the point where my son, who's won three games in a row now and climbed out of the basement, he said, oh, you're playing, Brian's name is Radio Face in the league.
That's a good name.
Yeah, it's a very good name.
And you haven't changed your name since the start of fantasy baseball.
Since ever. Canton Black Bears. He goes, oh, you're playing Radio Face this week. And he goes, ha, good luck with that. He's a buzzsaw.
Was it the younger one? Or the
older one.
Oh, that's really
funny. But it's weird because the younger one follows it more than the older one. The older one is one of those guys, he just rolls with it. If whatever happens, happens. The younger one is on it like all the time. And he's like walking through the house like, ah, damn it. I can't believe this. And I'm like, dude, you got to just back off. Like, you'll go nuts if you keep following it.
I got Scherzer on the IL. I mean, I don't know who to dump. I mean, it seems like the rosters are... They let you keep more pitchers than they used to, and it's just tighter for position players. I have two position players.
You got Manny Machado.
Yeah, who would have thought that he would do what he's doing?
And Jose Ramirez. That's like your two. Like, those guys alone. Well, and Polar Bear. Those three. Jazz Chisholm's a great player, but those three players there, Alonso, Ramirez, and Machado.
Yeah, Pete has been really good.
Have been crazy. Have just been insane. For you.
And I get the push notifications now, so like I know when there's a home run. I'm like, oh, home run. Yeah. Oh, home run. Ooh, yeah. Home run.
And I got Bryce Harper, who's playing with a torn UCL in his elbow, and he's still raking. So, but the problem with that is, you know, he disappears every once in a while. He doesn't go on the COVID aisle. He just goes in like, I'm going to hang out in the dugout for a few days, you know?
Do you enjoy the way it's for, like, I mean, if you compare fantasy baseball, like, because I did rotary. Remember, we had Dom Rivers, my high school dorm mate. He does rotisserie, like legit rotisserie baseball, which I hated, and because I didn't know what these guys were talking about half the time. But do you like the way it's configured?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's
Yahoo, by the way.
You can do all sorts of different points and all this other stuff. I mean, I just burn through it quick and try to keep it as simple as possible. You know, it's you can deep dive and go crazy as far as whatever stats you can do and minus and plus points, but you know, keep it simple. And you know, that way, if you're just drafting players kind of based on name, hopefully you get something out of them too. And you don't have to go in there and look, well, this guy's whip on this date and this, you know, these stadiums and all this other stuff. So you got to remember, we got some guys, or, you know, kids in our league that are just turning 13 years old. There's a couple kids. You know,
they're the 7, 8, 9 in the lineup. Yeah.
They're the bottom feeders.
You
got to
make sure you win those. That's funny. Yeah, I'm looking at your team too.
I'm usually always pretty good because I follow the sport, so I can pretty much hang in like any league, but I feel like it's always the people that have like the sports connection. Like Bad News Bears works at ESPN.
Right.
Like I feel like there's something to those commercials, you know, like this is ESPN. You're walking by a booth and you hear like some dude like Carl Ravitch being like, oh, my buddy just said this dude's getting called up. Next thing you know, waiver wire.
Yeah.
You know?
I will just say this in closing, and we got to wrap up the episode, is that when I worked at ESPN, I no longer enjoyed going out with the guys or going to games. Because going out with the guys talk about like sex, money, and sports, right? Yep. I mean, like, especially when you're in your 20s.
Right.
You got nothing else to talk about. Now we talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. But and so I knew more than they did. And it was not fun for me to talk about it because they were doing all these sports radio hot takes. And I just was like, you got, and I didn't want to be like a condescending. I didn't want to be a condescending jerk. So I was just like, I'm just going to sit there and sit on my hands and not say anything. But the truth is, when you work there, you're so immersed in it that you just know more than everybody. But it's your job. And when it's your job, sometimes it's not as fun. So everyone like pointed at ESPN as like pinnacle. But like when it's your job, it's different. Like I enjoy going to games way more now than I did when I worked at ESPN. It's just the bottom line.
I'm going as a fan, not an analyst.
Yeah. And I still don't cheer. I don't cheer a whole lot. Yeah. I just it's just in sort of in my no cheering in the press box mentality.
It was hard, man. You're in the camera well, and you're like you're watching your team. Oh, and like, you know, it's like you want to get into it. But
were you? I don't think you were with me when the Marlins beat the Yankees.
No, I wasn't. 03, I wasn't. I was actually at a wedding that night.
Oh.
I was bouncing might back and forth from the wedding to the bar watching
that
it.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
Being with, who's the Connecticut, the Southington pitcher again? What's
Carl Bavano.
Yeah, it was Carl Bavano.
That was his audition.
She was,
his Yankees
she
audition.
She eviscerated the Yankees, man. Right on the field, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even like the Yankees, and she's making me uncomfortable. She was crazy. All right, listen, this has been episode 77. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.